This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We welcome everybody on this half-hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com, Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. They go over every vehicle in the lot. And the service department, inspections routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. We'll get to Bob Nightingale in just a few minutes with the World Series getting underway tomorrow. The World Series getting underway Friday night and at Chavez Ravine because they had the best record. But also the passing of Fernando Valenzuela. When I was in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago, we had heard Valenzuela wasn't doing well. Now, so was I, was I shocked when I heard it? Only because I would have been if I hadn't been out there. They just said, at one point, they just said he wasn't doing well when we were out there. Well, you want to talk about charisma? Oh, my goodness. All right. Unreal. Never did. I don't think they've said what he died of. We just knew that he was not doing well. That's when we were out there. That's what we had heard. So the Yankees and the Dodgers get underway with the World Series, and this has been the series Major League Baseball has been dreaming of. They get Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge on the same stage for 4 to 7 nights. And that's going to be part of the big storyline in all of this, that the two stars, who are stars, are on there. And I believe we have Bob now?
No, he needs a couple minutes.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. We can get, as soon as Bob's ready, I'll be ready.
I was going to say... Last time this happened, he needed to talk to Reggie Jackson, so.
Yeah, well, you know.
It happens.
I was on a show a few weeks ago, and they said, hey, can we delay you being on the show? I said, sure. I said, because we're going to have the governor on. I said, you're bagging me talking about Penn State football for the governor? I mean, really? It's like, okay. I said, make your own mistakes. So it seemed like it was pretty important that the gov was on. So, yeah. So I stepped aside for the governor. I'll wait for Bob.
This is Pennsylvania. You're more important than the governor.
Oh, God. I don't think so. I don't think so. I would never... In a million years, right? Say that about our gov, okay? Okay,
you know, I don't think it would matter the governor, but I bet your popularity polls higher.
Oh, I don't know. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm staying way out of this. I don't need to get into this at all because it's not something I thought of. I just thought it was a funny story. Like I'm waiting for Bob, and I stepped aside for the gov. one day on a show.
All right. Now I'm trying to get you in trouble.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what are you doing here? My goodness. It's better off when we're out there attacking the suit. All right, so... But we'll talk to him about all of this. And, of course, Penn State-Wisconsin coming up Saturday. We'll get into that also a little bit later in the show. 7:30, 6 o'clock the airtime. And that, by the way, will be on Eagle 107. So we're looking forward to that very much and the trip out to Camp Randall. But, yeah, when we were out there, we had heard Fernando was not doing well because, I mean, he actually, like a week before, had stepped out of the broadcast booth. So, yeah. So he'd been working on their Spanish language broadcast, which, of course, is incredibly successful.
I was reading something yesterday. He never... In all the years, he never sat down for an in-depth interview or never gave much of his life story or anything. I found that part of it interesting as well.
Yeah, he never did. But
you think a book in the mid-80s by Fernando Valenzuela might have done some numbers.
Oh, I'm sure it would have. No, I'll never forget. Valenzuela comes on the scene. I want to say 81, and it's incredible. Fernando Mania. But, you know, it was back in the days where cable was in its infancy, and there weren't, you know, baseball games like that on cable. NBC had the Saturday game of the week. And so I think the Dodgers were playing the Reds, and it turned out that, as luck would have it, Fernando was pitching on a Saturday against the Reds. Well, I sat there and I watched the whole thing. He was great. You know, and that's just the way it was with him. He was charismatic. He had great style. Yeah. Very special.
We do have Bob now, Steve.
Hello, Bob. Hey, thanks so much. I think the last time we were doing this, you had to stop in the middle and talk to Reggie Jackson, so I'm okay with all this stuff.
I just talked to Reggie yesterday, so we're okay.
Okay, well, good. So you know, people don't realize, Reggie actually was a Philly guy. All right, so... we were just talking about Fernando Valenzuela. When I was in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago, we had heard that he was not doing well. So it didn't come as a total shock when we heard he had passed away. I remember watching the NBC game of the week when he pitched against the Reds because I had to see him pitch. Was that the way Fernando Valenzuela was? He was a must-see every time he went to the mound?
He really was. The way he burst on the scene like that, you know, shutout after shutout. And, you know, back then, you never heard anybody coming from Mexico and that sort of thing. You know what? He doesn't know English. And, he changed everything. And you go to Dodger games now, it's by a good 40% Latino crowd. And you still see the balance. You see more Valenzuela jerseys than Colfax or anybody else. But, yeah, he changed the whole marketplace and just a great guy. Saw him a lot over the years because he was doing the broadcast booth. And but yeah, you knew he never wanted to talk about it. You knew he wasn't right when I saw him last in late August, early September. When you talk to him, it's like there was a vacancy in there. So just like, you know, the cancer had taken its toll, and but never wanted any attention to it. Never even told his broadcast partners what was going on. Just everybody knew he was sick.
But wasn't that really the way he was? He never really talked about himself anyway. I mean, there are no in-depth interviews really with him, are there?
No, he didn't talk about himself. And, usually when time goes on, you'll see, you know, former players go to the clubhouse or go to the batting cage. That wasn't him. I never saw him go in the clubhouse, never saw him go in the field. Just did his job and acted like he never played a day of professional baseball. Sometimes I think he was kind of embarrassed by all the attention, when he walked through the crowd, that sort of thing, people screaming. No ego whatsoever. Just a really nice, genuine person.
I'm going to guess that he would love this World Series matchup. Here it is. It's Ohtani. It's Judge. It's the Dodgers. It's the Yankees. Bob, in your opinion, is this a best-case scenario for Major League Baseball to draw ratings?
Oh, absolutely. Nothing against the Rangers, the Texas Rangers, Arizona last year, but people just didn't really care outside the Southwest. But, yeah, this is a dream World Series. And, it's going downward. I think the talking to Reggie about this yesterday. The 81 World Series, they had about 9 Hall of Famers in all, if you include the umpires, Ed Harvey and Vin Scully behind the mic, that sort of thing. But this one, you could have 10 or 11, when you're talking guys like Clayton Kershaw, Ohtani, a Judge, a Soto, a Betts, Dave Roberts, the way he's managing. So you have, got a chance, Garrett Cole. You got a chance for a lot of Hall of Famers from this World Series. So it's really star-studded.
I need to ask about Judge. He's hit 161 in this postseason. But the problem is it's not unusual. He is a 203 career postseason hitter. When you talk to people, why?
Steve, I can't hear you.
I said, I'm sorry about that. I said, Aaron Judge is hitting 161 in this postseason, but that's not unusual. Whoop, I think we just lost Bob. So we will take a moment, we'll get him back on the line, and then I will re-ask the thoroughly brilliant question that I just had posed to him. So we'll get back to that in just a moment. So we'll make sure we have that taken care of here and talk to Bob here in a second. We're up to this part now. Good. Yeah, I have to hit it on the side. Do that. The World Series is marvelous. I mean, Flaherty against Cole, game one. I like the pitching matchup. What's the part of the pitching matchup I don't like all the way through is that the Dodgers are going to have to do a bullpen game. A bullpen game? Really? But that is an indicator of how injuries have affected their staff. But we'll try and reconnect here with Bob Nightingale in just a few minutes. And we apologize for...
Hello?
There he is.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
There you go.
I heard the dial tone.
So far, so good.
All right, I'm going to put you back on.
Okay. And hello, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't even move. It just went out completely, so I don't know what happened.
We're all good. It doesn't matter. I brilliantly...
You said something about a Judge, then I lost you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's okay, because they're right now in his postseason, a lot of people have lost him. 161 in this postseason, but 203 lifetime. When you talk to people, what are their theories? Why?
It's just the way people pitch to you differently in postseason. They focus so much on just getting you out, and they don't worry about the rest. I think that's why we've seen the Bucky Dents and Buddy Biancolanas and Brian Doyles. Even Tommy Edman, where the big boys get shut down because they focus so much on you, and then they kind of let up on others. That's why I think you get guys in the bottom of the lineup that become the stars. Look at Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds didn't do anything until 2002. He was always shut down. And then he became a star in the postseason. A-Rod, same way. So a lot of times those big stars, don't come through. I mean, Shohei Ohtani, his batting average is okay, but, they pretty much shut him down in the postseason so far, too. It wasn't like he has taken over any game single-handedly. Still doesn't have a stolen base, I don't think. So, no, I think just teams focus so much on that, where, even the Yankees, I think they focus so much on getting Judge out in Soto to a degree that Stanton became a star.
Yeah. In fact, you mentioned Tommy Edman. Of course, all the connections here because he played a full summer here with State College, so I did his game. Same thing with Clay Holmes with the Yankees. So there's two State College connections out there in this World Series for the fans to look at. When you talk about Shohei Ohtani, we've talked about him a lot, Bob. All right. Just being the DH and not having to play the field, not pitching, did that do anything maybe to give him a few extra points on the batting average, other things? How much do you think it helped?
Oh, I think it helped a lot. Even Dave Roberts has talked about, hey, there's no way he's going to be able to steal that many bases next year, you know, not when you're pitching too. I think what he's done this year is going to kind of convince him, maybe the Dodgers too, like in a couple of years, hey, enough of the pitching, just stick strictly to offense. And he should be an outfielder. I mean, he's got a great athlete.
Yes.
Great speed and everything else. So, you know, I can see him playing center field, right field, what have you. But I think he'll be in the outfield in a couple of years.
Stan's a guy that has not been one of the great postseason players, but boy, he's been awesome this time through. When you look at him, I haven't even brought up Soto, but guys like that can carry a team in a 10-day span, can't they?
They can. And because of what he did, I bet the Dodgers now start focusing on him, or maybe Judge steps up Soto steps up. It'll be interesting, Stanton. I want to say he doesn't have great numbers in L.A. He's from L.A., obviously got a lot of family here, a lot of friends here. I wouldn't be surprised at all, Steve, to see him struggle.
Yeah. Soto, on display as usual as an all-around player, already has a championship ring. For you, in covering the game, how much fun is it to cover a guy like Soto when you now get to see him on an everyday basis?
Yeah, a great pure hitter. You know, I think people are getting carried away on some of the stuff, like, oh, well, he gets $600 million, $700 million. But when Ohtani, you know, hits and pitches, you know, Ohtani sells about $50-60 million, makes it franchise about $50-60 million endorsements and in attendance. Soto doesn't sell that many tickets. You know, nobody does. So we'll see. The one thing about Soto you worry about, he's still young, but you wish he was a better outfielder. You wish he was a better base runner. You know, he did have a better year, you know, much better year this year with the Yankees than with the Padres. The Padres were not a good fit. They were a better team this year without him than they were with him. So I'll be interested to see, you know, how he does with his new team, new contract. I would think he'd stay with the Yankees. You know, I don't see the I'm sure the Blue Jays will make a big offer, the Giants. I don't believe the Mets. I think the Mets will say, you know what, we showed that we can do it by just spreading that money around. I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets just put money into the free agent market for pitchers and even let a guy like Pete Alonso go.
The Dodgers will go with at least a bullpen day. Is that indicative of all the injuries they've had and this is their best option? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't like it, but that's their only option. It's amazing that, you know, gone through this with only three starters. And Jack Flaherty, you know, who should have been with the Yankees, but he flunked his physical with his back. So the Yankees passed him up at the trade deadline when they had a deal done, and he falls in Dodgers' lap. But, you know, Yamamoto's very erratic. Bueller, very erratic, too. It's hard to get more than four innings from these guys. So, yeah, the bullpen's just not a necessity. I mean, Dave Roberts really doesn't want to do it, but it works. It's been effective. I mean, it kind of blew up in game two of the LCS, but otherwise it's worked wonders for him.
Bob, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate how we fought through the whole thing together, pal.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you. All right. Yeah. By the way, Tommy Edman, Clay Holmes. Tommy spent the whole summer here. Now, Holmes spent part of a summer here. Clay did. But Tommy was here the whole summer. Came out of Stanford, shortstop. I was thrilled for him winning the NLCS MVP. And because he's just one of the, like there's certain guys where, like, he's just a good guy. Well, Edmund's just a good guy. He just is. And so I was thrilled for him as to the fact that he was out there, got the MVP in the NLCS, and he solved a big problem for them at shortstop. I mean, they can keep Mookie Betts in the outfield because they have Tommy. And when they acquired Edmund from the Cardinals, remember what I said on the show? I said that quietly is an important acquisition for the Dodgers. And one of the reasons I thought it was important was, first of all, I think Tommy's a good player, but it keeps Betts in the outfield. All right. Take a break. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KR Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
October is SUV month. SUV month at a Sunbury Motors Ford.
Sun, ride with the sun. Sunbury Motors.
Pick from 32 new Ford Escapes and 25 new Ford Bronco Sports. Both discounted $4,000. And they're on sale starting at just $28,965. Choose from 19 of the totally redesigned 2025 Ford Explorer that comfortably seats 7 passengers. And they're reduced $5,000. And priced from only $39,230. Sunbury Motors, located in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family for 109 years. Hurry, sale ends October 31st.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street, Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Despite their best efforts, there's no such thing as suit insurance. If that were the case, we all would have bought bucket loads. What? Admit it. You're tempted. Customer service means everything to them. So they're going to make sure you're fully insured, and they're going to make sure they'll figure out any way they can to save you money. It is all at Purdy Insurance. Marcus Free and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. So here it is, the final Thursday of the regular season in high school football. How about that? So, Todd, what's our order here? Is Greg first? Or
Mr. Wetzel is first. He's ready to roll.
Greg. You find out a lot when a team gets to bounce back mode. What did you see?
Well, Steve, they did bounce back. They won, but it might have been their sloppiest game of the year. And not taking anything away from Montoursville, but I don't think Montoursville played their cleanest game of the year either. A lot of missed tackles, but the Green Dragons made big plays when they had to, both offensively and defensively. And I think sometimes that's a sign of a good team when you don't play your best and still come out on top.
Is it at this point, I mean, I know they were coming off a loss, but is it not just physical fatigue, but it's at some point playing 10 straight weeks is a little bit like, you know, mental fatigue?
You know, I think you're right. I think that's a good point that, you know, I hate to look back when I played sports, Steve, because that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But you know, you get to the end of football season or soccer season, whatever season you might be playing right now, and you're thinking, boy, I'm going to be starting to play basketball or wrestling season comes next. And, you know, you're looking ahead of, oh, this is the end of my senior year. This could be my last football game. But, you know, your mind starts to drift sometimes instead of focusing on what needs to be done at that time. And I think you might be seeing some of that with some of the players. Not all of them, but I think some of them, you see that. I went to practice Tuesday. It probably was the worst practice I've seen all year on Tuesday. Now, is that because, well, we have our district seeding sewed up? We think we have the second seed. You know, Mifflinburg only has a 4-5 record. You know, we're going to win this game. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. And as you know, as the farther you go in sports, it's no longer a matter of physical capability. It's mental capability. The more mental tougher you are, the better you're going to be in sports at the higher level.
I wasn't smart enough to be mentally fatigued, so it was like, I think I went along. And I was like, I was so happy I was playing; it didn't really matter to me. That's just me.
I guess I understand.
Little brown, like, there's motivation. It's, you know, you've got Mifflinburg. It's a little brown jug game. Does this mean more to the older fan in the stands, or do you think it means something to the kids?
I think it means more to the older fans in the stand than it does to the kids right now. It used to be, it was the Little Brown Jug game, and it was the battle for football supremacy in Union County. Guess what? Now the Little Brown Jug is divided out into all sports that Lewisburg and Mifflinburg compete against each other. So if Lewisburg loses the football game, or Mifflinburg loses the football game, they can still win the Little Brown Jug by beating us in wrestling, or we beat them in wrestling, basketball, boys and girls, track and field, all the sports. So the game has lost some of its meaning in terms of the Little Brown Jug. But I think right now, with Mifflinburg's season the way it is, this game means more to them than it does to Lewisburg, because they can finish 500. They can't improve their seeding in districts, but they can go from an 0-5 start to all of a sudden you're 5-5. And I think that's a big goal for these Mifflinburg kids.
I understand that, because that's like the Cy-Hawk Trophy. I mean, they play the football game with Iowa State, but it goes through the whole year. You're like, okay, whatever. Good luck to you. Okay.
And I've had some conversations with the athletic director from Mifflinburg about this very issue, about making it just a football-only trophy right now and going for another trophy for all sports. You know, have the whole season. Have, like, two Little Brown Jugs, so to speak. One just for football and one for all the other sports.
Yeah. Okay, so the matchup with Mifflinburg, what are a couple things you're going to be looking for tomorrow night?
I want Mifflinburg to run for less than 50 yards in the night. The reason I say that, they're a pass-first team, Steve.
Right.
And if they get their rushing attack going, Lewisburg is in a world of trouble defensively. Chad Martin's the quarterback for Mifflinburg. He's about 6'4", 220 pounds. He's their leading rusher. He's thrown for over 1,800 yards in a year. He also plays linebacker on defense. He is one heck of an athlete, really good player. And if Lewisburg can't control the line of scrimmage and stop that running game, they're going to be in some trouble defensively. They're going to have to score a lot of points to win the game.
Always a pleasure. We will talk next week, which is cool.
I will be there.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Greg.
Yep. You take care.
All right. Who's next in the cavalcade of champions here?
It sounds like me for now.
You're talking about Sealands Grove?
Well, I haven't heard from the chief at all either. And so, week 10.
Week 10. Suit said don't go on with him. He does whatever the suit tells him to do. It's unbelievable. Well, let's talk about Sealands Grove, because Sealands Grove, okay, here they are. They've got their game with Danville coming up. And Danville's coming off the win over Sugarlummi. And Sealers Grove had an impressive win. They beat Berwick. And that's a terrific win for them. I mean, across the board, that had to feel good for a lot of people there.
Yeah, it did. And I think they were impressed by the way they went about it as well. The Seals have kind of struggled throwing the ball for the most part this season. They got that part of the offense untracked. Gavin Bastian, who has started for four seasons for them at wide receiver, broke Ryan Kaiser's career record for yardage in the game, and then also broke Ryan Shuck's record for career receptions. So Gavin got both of those records against Berwick. And, you know, the Berwick running back, Tymir Wilkerson, had three runs of over 50 yards, but Berwick could not, only threw the ball three times, and one of those was picked off in return for an interception. So the defense played pretty well again as well, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great win for them. Now they've got this game with Danville, or excuse me, with coming up this week as well with Danville on the road. I mean, you know a lot about Danville. So, I mean, what issues will they face?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Danville is Danville's really beat up right now. They're 9-0, number one in Class 3A, but I think they're down five or six starters. The leading receiver, Cole Duffy, he was in a boot last week, but he was able to play in the state golf tournament this week. So we'll see if he's healthy enough to play football on Friday. You know, Danville's heavily favored in this one, but this is kind of a matchup for Sealands Grove that they match up pretty well. They're kind of Sealands Grove's strength and physicality is probably, you know, I don't want to say it's a weakness for Danville, but they're not real big physically, and Sealands Grove's a little bit bigger than them. So I feel like it's gonna look a lot like that Schick game did last week, where the Braves kind of were able to hang around for about a quarter and a half, and then Danville kind of took over because, you know, Bo Sheptock is having probably the best overall running back season in the area. He leads the area in rushing. He has 25 rushing touchdowns, and he's kind of been the one to bail out the Ironmen when they've kind of struggled a bit offensively this season. And, you know, I've talked a little bit about this in other places. I think one of the things Danville, you know, people are a little off on Danville right now is, you know, the last 2 years they've really blown people out and have, you know, averaged almost 50 points a game. You know, their quarterback, Madden Patrick, threw 48 touchdowns last season, and they're just not as explosive this year. Mm-hmm. But they're also winning all those games. They may not be by mercy rule, but they're still winning two or three touchdowns. And I think we're kind of allowing what we saw the last couple of years to kind of affect our expectations for this year's team.
Normally, in years gone by, it would be Shikellamy Sealands Grove playing this game. I just talked to Greg about Mifflinburg-Lewisburg. I realize with the playoffs, which are all important, and obviously if you like have a pulse, they let you in. But are we missing something by not having that last game be a rivalry game?
I kind of think so, because I think we're going to find out, you know, out at the hype is already overloaded out at Mount Carmel for their rivalry game at the end of the year, with both teams with one team at 9-0 and the other team at 6-2. And that's right. To be honest, that's the only one that really gets the blood going around here right now, is that Coal Bucket game. Most of these other rivalry games, we've gotten to the point where one team is exponentially better than the other, or right. It's along the lines of, you know, Sealands Grove Schick is always the last 10, 12, even when I was in high school, has always been more, the adults were more concerned about it. We were always, even when I was in high school, we were always friendly with the Schick kids. I mean, it wasn't life or death for us. It was more it was for the older people.
Southern Columbia is not having a typical Southern Columbia season. That happens. But they've got Shikellamy here at the end. How tough a matchup is this for Shikellamy to compete with this team?
I don't think it's quite as tough a matchup as it normally would be. The Tigers are, don't get me wrong, the Tigers are a good team. They ran for 450 yards last week in a win over Bloomsburg, but they're not. It's not the Tigers of the last couple years right now.
Right.
But it is a tough matchup for the Braves. But you know, right now, since under Coach Mike Hoover, these guys have been playing much better football. I think Dave. The chief has touched on it a couple times. Just the vibes around the program are a little better, mm-hmm. and You know, they've been in these games. They've played these teams tough. It's just a matter they're just not quite as talented as them, and I think that's probably what ends up happening here. They're probably in this one for two or three quarters until Southern has the ability to kind of wear them down and put them away late.
Shamokin and Mount Carmel, I know we're not carrying the game. Are you covering this game?
Oh, I am definitely covering this game.
Okay. So break this game down for me as to what you see between Shamokin and Mount Carmel.
I think the biggest thing is going to be mental, to be honest. Both teams match up pretty equally. I think the biggest edge comes on the defensive side of the ball. I think Shamokin's got a little bit of a defensive edge just because, you know, there are some marks on that Mount Carmel defense. You know, that Norskoka was able to put some yards on them. A couple other teams was able to move the ball on them. You know, but, you know, the argument to that is, you know, they did a good job against Danville in that loss a couple weeks ago. So, I think this one's going to be pretty mental. This is definitely the biggest crowd either of these kids are ever going to play in front of. I don't think if either team would happen to make the state final this year that there would be a bigger crowd at the state final there than there's going to be. Going to be for this one on Friday night out at the Silver Bowl. You know, Shamokin hasn't had an undefeated regular season since 1991, nor have they beaten Mount Carmel since 1995. So there's kind of the pressure on those kids to kind of finish this off because the way this rivalry goes, it might be a little flip, but people aren't going to remember the 9-0 if they lose this one this week, and that's just kind of the sad fact of it, and that's a lot of pressure on those Shamokin kids. And of course, if you're Mount Carmel, you don't want to be the team that lost the streak from 1995 to be the first team to lose to Mount Carmel in almost 30 mm-hmm. years. So I think there's just going to be a lot of pressure on the game. I think it'd be a good chance. Both teams are tight early, a little bit emotional, and until they settle in, it's going to be a tight one. It's going to be a physical one, and it's going to be a packed place. I heard, as of Tuesday, Shamokin had sold 2,000 tickets for their side of the field. So,
really,
yep,
wow, very, very impressive.
Get there early.
I won't be here. I won't be here.
It was the universal you.
We'll take a break. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hey, by the way, congrats, by the way, to Greg Wetzel's granddaughter. Won the 2A District 4 cross country title this morning. How about that? How about that? Isn't that cool?
I think it's her third one in a row, to be honest.
That is great. Because normally when I'm out running, it's usually from reality.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, you know? Maybe that's why we didn't have the chief today, because he was out there cheering and isn't home yet.
That could be it.
And Steve Briggs, his son's getting married this weekend, so for some reason we let him off to do that. I thought that was... Okay.
Congratulations to Corey, former quarterback at Selins Grove and at Harvard.
Well done. That is great. Why do I sense he married above himself?
They're going to Annapolis, so I'm guessing they are. He did.
Yeah. That's great. Okay. So, yeah, that's your big high school weekend. We have what, Audrey Snyder later in the show today?
2:35.
2:35 Eastern time. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do... Then after this, I have to do a... I'm on... CBS for something. I don't know what. I'll answer questions like I know what I'm talking about. All right. So
You think you're going on for Penn State and you'll turn around and it'll be election coverage.
Yeah, it'll be election coverage. So what do you think about Trump coming to State College? Like, I don't know. I'm not going to be here. It's like, I'm out of town. Yeah, I guess he's here on Saturday.
So. Good luck with the traffic, State College people.
Yeah, I won't be here. So, oh, goodness Christ. It's like, I'll be in Madison. So Clippers fan wall baffles KD, but LA loses. Now their new place, I only saw it from the outside, the Intuit Dome. Oh, that's quite the looking building, I'll say that. And the Phoenix Stars Sun went up against the wall, and the wall won. 88.4% career free throw shooter missed two, sending the crowd into a frenzy. Okay. It has 51 uninterrupted rows of seats, but the first 13 rows are filled with Clippers diehard fans whose fandom is vetted by the franchise beforehand. Those fans in the first 13 rows are expected to stand and chant for the entire game and create an atmosphere similar to a college student section. So they're called the Wall. The Wall and the high-tech 4K Halo board, which, by the way, like the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta has, SoFi Stadium has, that's the Halo board. The largest double-sided Halo display in an arena setting, and almost a full acre long, are perhaps the two biggest features that make the Intuit Dome unlike any other NBA arena. Steve Ballmer, the owner, opened the evening by standing in the wall among the fans, and starting what the Clippers hope will be a ritual with a dance and a chant. It's kind of like the soup before a Shikalemi game, don't you think? Same thing?
It's one of those things, you'd never know I hit the lottery, that, but there'd be clues. That would be the clue. I'd have my own, dance and kick off my pro team season.
Be honest with you, I'd pay to see that.
You might be the only one.
Oh, no, I'd pay to see that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right.
I'll get the suit to teach me some moves.
Well, usually when he does something intricate, it in part is because he tripped.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn. We begin with the conflicts in the Middle East and a new round of talks to reach a ceasefire and hostage deal. U.S. and Israeli negotiators are set to travel to Doha on Sunday. It's the first round of talks since the killing of the top Hamas leader. Meanwhile, at the White House today, pro-Palestinian protesters.
This was a small protest, but it created a big disruption with its simulated sounds of Israeli attacks in Gaza. These Palestinian Americans were there.
We cannot sit idle by and just watch this happen.
They carried signs that read, "This Halloween, the horror is Israel, and we all bleed the same color." Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
With just 12 days until Election Day, former President Trump is out west campaigning while Vice President Harris returns to Georgia for a rally with Bruce Springsteen, Tyler Perry, and former President Obama. CBS's Jim Crisula tells us where some of the wrong information about hurricane response came from.
Russia was behind some of the internet misinformation and claims about the federal government's response to hurricanes Helene and Milton. That's according to research from the London-based Institute for Strategic Dialogue. The group says it was part of the Kremlin's efforts to manipulate and divide Americans ahead of the November 5th election.
The three Georgia men convicted in the 2020 killing of a black jogger are asking for a new trial. trial.
Two of the three men armed themselves while a third man shot video as they hunted down and killed Ahmaud Arbery nearly 5 years ago. The defense arguing the pursuit was justified because of a recent series of thefts in the neighborhood. Arbery's mother, after the men were arrested.
In the selfish minds, they think that they're the good guys.
Police found no evidence that Arbery had done anything wrong. An attorney for convicted shooter Travis McMichael says the jury's verdict was tainted by outside influences and extraneous prejudicial information. The three men are serving life sentences. Peter King, CBS News.
No deal for Boeing workers, so they continue to strike. And business reporter Jason Brooks says it is costing a whole lot.
S&P Global Ratings says the machinist strike is costing Boeing around $1 billion a month. And that's affecting Boeing's credit rating, which could make it more expensive for Boeing to borrow money.
The New York Liberty are celebrating their WNBA championship in New York City today with a big parade. Governor Kathy Hochul.
I want to thank our incredible coach as well, Sandy Brondello, for leading us to victory.
The win gave New York City its first basketball title since 1976. On Wall Street this afternoon, the Dow's down 194 points. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.
Hey, it's me, your liver. You know, the organ that helps you recover every weekend after pizza, donuts, and all those drinks. When you have a headache, you take an aspirin. You have a stomach ache, you pop an acid. But where's the love for your best buddy, the liver? The least that you could do to help me stay healthy is take Active Liver from New Nordic. Active Liver tablets contain high-quality, all-natural ingredients like milk thistle, globe artichoke, and turmeric extracts, which are proven to keep me healthy and you feeling your best. Active Liver provides an easy daily detox and helps protect me all year long. So let me make you an offer you can't refuse. You take care of me with Active Liver, and I keep taking care of you. Capiche?
See for yourself why Active Liver is Scandinavia's number one liver health supplement. You can find Active Liver at CVS and online at Amazon, Target.com, or directly from NewNordicUSA.com. Again, find it in stores at CVS or online at Amazon, Target.com, or New Nordic.